4. A Dead World. Shanriatha, 43 years before Istvan V. He took his first steps onto the world's surface, hearing the soft percussion of his steady breathing within the enclosed suit of armor. Targeting crosshairs moved over the emptiness in a sedate drift, while the delicate electronics of his retinal display listed his own biodata in ignorable streams. Slowly, he moved into the wind. Dust crunched underfoot, soil so absolutely dead and dry that it defied the possibility of life. His musings were accompanied by the rattle of grit in the breeze, clattering against his thrumming armor plating. For just a moment, he turned and looked back at his gunship. The racing winds were already painting it with a fine layer of the powdery red dust that existed in abundance on this world. This world. He supposed it had once possessed a name, though it had never been spoken by human lips. Its bleak, rusty desolation reminded him of Mars, though Terra's sister world was a bastion of industry with few wild lands remaining. It also laid claim to calmer skies. He didn't look up. He didn't need to, for there was nothing new to see. From horizon to horizon, a blanket of tortured clouds bubbled and churned, thunderheads crashing together to make tides of white, violet, and a thousand reds. The warp. He'd seen it before, but never like this. Never around a world. Never in place of true weather. Never crashing through thousands of solar systems in a migraine tide, like a nebula rotting in the void.
Loga,
said a genderless, breathless voice behind him, from a place where no one had been a moment before. He didn't spin to face it, nor did he bring his weapon to bear. Instead, the Primarch turned slowly, his eyes laden with patience and a bright, too human curiosity.
Ingathel, he greeted the aberration. I have sailed into the mouth of madness. Now, tell me why.
Ingathel slithered closer. Its claim to a humanoid form ended at its waist, which became the thick, ridged tail of a deep-sea worm or serpent. Mucous membranes along its underside were already coated with dust. Even its torso was human in only the loosest sense. Four skeletal arms reached from its shoulders, in divine mockery of some ancient Hindusian deity, and its skin was a grey, mottled spread of dry leather.
Loga,
it said again. Malformed teeth clacked together as the creature's jaw chattered. What had once been the face of a human female was now a bestial ruin, all fangs and dusty fur, with a leonine mouth that couldn't close around its deformed dental battlements. One eye stared, swollen and ripe with blood, bulging from its socket. The other was a sunken, useless nugget, half buried in the beast's skull.
Why did you choose this world?
The creature asked. The Primarch saw its throat quiver with the effort of speech, but no human words left the trembling jaws.
Does that matter? Lorgar wondered.
His own voice emerged from the snarling vox grill in the mouth of his helm.
I do not see why it would.
From orbit, you must have known several things. You cannot breathe the air of this world, nor is there any sign of life upon its surface. Yet you choose to land and journey across it.
I saw the ruins. A city drowned in the dust plains.
Very well, it said,
as if expecting such an answer. The creature hunched its shoulders against the wind, turning its head to shield its swollen eye. From its spine and shoulder blades rose several black pinions of burned bone, an angel's wings with no muscles or feathers.
What are you? Lorgar asked.
The beast's tongue bled as it licked its armory of teeth.
You know what I am.
Do I?
The Primarch towered above any mortal man, but Ingathel was taller still, rising high on its coiled tail.
I know you are a creature incarnated without a soul. I see nothing of the same life I see in humanity. No aura. No glimmer in the core of your being. But I do not know what you are. Only what you are not. The wind picked up, tearing at the parchment scrolls fastened to Lorgar's warplate. He let the storm claim them, not watching as they were ripped away, flapping in the air. A retinal warning flashed by the edge of his right eye. It was proclaiming another fall in the temperature. Was night falling? Nothing had changed in the sky above. No sun could be seen, let alone one that seemed to be setting. Lorgar cancelled the warning with a blink at the pulsating rune, just as his armor began to hum louder. The back-mounted generator growled as it churned out more power, entering a void thaw cycle. "It is over 200 degrees below the point water would freeze," he said to the monster. "Almost as cold as naked space."
"Another reason I wonder why you chose to walk upon this world."
Lorgar bared his teeth behind the granite-gray faceplate. "I am armored to survive such extremes. What are you? To stand here and ignore an atmosphere cold enough to turn blood to ice in the time it takes the human heart to beat a single pulse?"
"This is where the realm of flesh and spirit meet. Physical laws mean nothing here. There is no limit on what might be. That is chaos. Endless possibility."
Lorgar took a deep breath of the clean, recycled-scrubbed air of his warplate. It tasted of ritual cleansing oils, coppery in his sinuses. "So I could breathe here. I would not freeze."
"You are unique among the Anathema sons. All of your brothers are whole, Lorgar. You alone are lost. They have mastered their gifts since birth. Your own mastery will come with understanding. When it does, you will have the strength to reshape entire worlds on a whim."
Lorgar shook his head. "I am bred from the best of humanity, but I am still human. You may stand unarmored in this storm. It would destroy me in a moment. We are too different." The creature faced the Primarch, its swollen eye cataract by a film of red grit.
"Only one difference exists between the warp and the flesh. In the realm of flesh, sentient life is born ensouled. In the realm of raw thought, all life is soulless. But both are alive. The born and the never-born. On both sides of reality. Destined for symbiosis. Destined for union."
The Primarch crouched, letting dust fall through his gauntleted fingers. "Neverborn. I have studied the history of my species, Ingathel. That is no more than a poetic word for demon." The creature turned its back to the wind again, but said nothing. "What is this world called?" Lorgar looked up, but did not rise. The dust hissed away in the racing wind, leaving his fingers in a gritty stream.
"The Eldar called it Ikressa before the fall. After the birth of Slaaneth, she who thirsts, it was named Shanriatha."
The Primarch gave a soft laugh.
"You know the meaning of this word?"
"I learned the Eldar tongue when my legion first met them. Yes, I know the meaning of the word. It means never forgotten." The demon flicked a slit tongue over its maw, heedless of the bloody scratches it inflicted upon itself.
"You have met the soul broken."
"The soul broken?"
"The Eldar."
Lorgar rose to his feet, brushing the last of the dust away. "The Imperium has encountered them many times. Some expeditionary fleets have clashed with them to drive them from Imperial space. Others have passed in peace. My brother Magnus was always one of the more lenient when encountering them." He hesitated for a moment,
turning to the creature.
Your kind know of my brother Magnus, do they not?
The gods themselves know Magnus, Lorgar. His name is threaded through destiny's web as often as your own.
The word-bearer looked back to the horizon.
That gives me little comfort.
It will, in time. Speak of the soul broken.
He continued, slower now.
My legion encountered them not long after we sailed from Colchis the very first time. A fleet of Eldar, their vessels built of bone, drifting through the void powered by immense solar sails. I met with their farseers to determine their place in mankind's galaxy. During those weeks, I mastered their tongue.
Lorgar took another breath, thinking back to that time. It was easy to despise them.
Their inhumanity made them cold. Their skin stank of bitter oil and alien sweat, and their vaunted wisdom came at the cost of sneering condescension. What right did a dying breed have to judge us inferior? I asked them this, and they had no answer.
He laughed again, the same gentle sound.
They named us Mongkai, their term for so-called lesser races.
And yet, while they were easy to hate, there was much to admire in them as well.
Their existence is a tragic one.
And what of your legion?
We destroyed them, the Primarch admitted, at great cost, in both warships and loyal lives. They care for nothing but survival. The ferocious need to continue their existence saturates their whole culture. None of them ever die easily, nor do they fall cleanly.
He paused for a moment.
Why do you name them soul broken?
If such a thing as Ingathel could be said to smile, it did so now.
You know what this place is. Not this world, but this whole region of space, where gods and mortals meet. A goddess was born here. Slaaneth, she who thirsts.
Lorgar looked to the sky, watching the cosmic afterbirth raging above.
He knew without being told that this storm would rage forever,
and it would spread over the coming centuries, engulfing ever more solar systems.
It would spread far and wide, opening to peer into the galaxy's core like a god's staring eye.
I am listening, he said quietly.
In her genesis, brought about by the Eldar's worship, she claimed the spirits of the entire race. They are the soul broken. When any mortal dies, its spirit drifts into the warp. It is the way of things. But when the Eldar die, they are pulled right into the maw of the goddess they betrayed. She thirsts for them, for they are her children. She drinks them as they die.
Together, the demon and the emperor's son began to move west. Lorgar moved against the wind, his helmed head lowered as he listened to the creature's psychic speech. Ingathel closed its eyes as best as its deformed face allowed, its slithering passage leaving a sidewinder trail in the dust. The marks they left didn't last long, for the storm soon obliterated all evidence of their passing.
Something you said. It matches the old ways of cultures.
He quoted verbatim from the texts of the very religion he'd once overthrown in the name of emperor worship.
It is said that, upon death, the unshackled soul drifts into the infinite, to be judged by thirsting gods.
Ingathel made a choking, coughing gargle. It took Lorgar a moment to realize the creature was laughing.
It is the core of a million human faiths throughout your species' lifespan. The primordial truth is in humanity's blood. You all reach for it. You all know that something awaits after death. the faithful, the loyal, will be judged kindly and reside in their God's domains. The faithless, the unbelievers, will drift through the ether, serving as prey for the Neverborn. The warp is the end of all spirits. It is the destination of every soul.
That is hardly the heaven promised in most human faiths. Lorgar felt his lip curling.
No, but it is the same hell your species has always feared.
The Primarch couldn't argue with that.
You wish to see the ruins of this world?
Ingathel weaved as it slithered alongside him. This was once a grand city. Lorgar could make out the first fallen towers on the horizon, shrouded in generations of carmine dust. Whatever tectonic devastation had claimed this world long ago dragged the city into a crater, spilling its spires to the ground. What protruded from the earth now resembled the ribcage of some long-dead beast.
These ruins were never a true city. When the Soulbroken fled the goddess's birth, the survivors boarded vast domed platforms of living bone, carrying the remnants of their species into the stars on a final exodus.
Craftworlds. I have seen one. Lorgar kept trudging forward into the wind. It was magnificent, in its own alien, chilling way. Ingathel's chittery laugh wasn't quite stolen by the wind.
Many of the fledgling craft worlds failed to escape Slaaneth's birth scream. They dissolved in the void, or fell to die on the faces of these abandoned worlds.
Lorgar slowed in his pace, casting a glance at the demon. We walk to the grave of a craft world. Ingathel rasped another laugh from its malformed jaws.
You are here to witness wonders, are you not?
And so they came to a dead city, fallen from the void to bury itself in the world's lifeless dust. Red-stained bone architecture reached as far as the eye could see, jutting from the fundament with all the grace of a mouth filled by shattered teeth. Lorgar and his guide stood at the crater's lip, staring down into the grave of the alien void city. The Primarch was silent for some time, listening to the howl of the wind and the accompanying grit rattle against his armor. When he spoke, he didn't break his gaze from the ancient annihilation below. How many died here? Ingathel raised itself higher, peering down with its foul eyes. Four arms spread in a grand gesture, as if laying claim to everything the demon beheld.
This was Craftworld Zulassa. 200,000 souls burst in the moment Slaaneth was born. Unguided, with madness rampant in its own living core, the Craftworld fell.
Lorgar felt a small smile take hold.
200,000.
How many in the entire Eldar Empire?
A whole species. Trillions. A decillion. A tredecillion. A goddess was born in the brains of every living Eldar and tore itself into the realm of cold space and warm flesh.
The demon hunched itself, leaning with all four arms on the crater's edge.
I sense your emotions, Lorgar. Pleasure, awe, fear.
I have no love for the galaxy's Xenos breeds, the Primarch confessed. The Eldar failed to grasp the truth of reality, and I feel no sorrow for them. Merely pity that any being can die in ignorance.
He took a breath, still staring down at the buried craft world.
How many of these failed to escape the goddess's birth?
A great many. Even now, Some drift in the warp's tides. The silent homes of memories and alien ghosts.
Lorgar ignored the wind tearing at his cloak as he took his first step on the crater's slope. I sense something, Ingathel. Something down there.
I know.
Do you know what it is? The demon wiped its abused eyes with careful claws.
A revenant, perhaps. An echo of Eldar life. Breathing its last, if it still breathes at all.
Lorgar drew his Crozius maul, his thumb close to the activation rune. The weapon caught the tumultuous light above, reflecting the storm on its burnished spines. I'm going closer.